Good afternoon. This is a three-part series of lectures which is about understanding the learners. The first part is going to be about the learner's needs. The second part about the learner's perceptions. And the third part, we will see the exploring and application of the theory of learning. So let us look at the learner needs first. This topic is exciting because they provide a model for good practice and act as a stimulant to other teachers and student teachers in India and elsewhere to undertake such action focused on inquiry. So this basically is about a practitioner inquiry, where typically applied educationists and linguists in the university departments undertake research which is rigorous and rich in their cultural information. Often their research is through longitudinal data and is informed by theory and funded by expensive grants. However, it often takes a long time, the results are often inconclusive, and it is often reported in a code for fellow practitioners in journals and is inaccessible to many teachers in the field. And the conclusion is, therefore, more research is needed. So in order to mitigate that, the teacher practitioners in the field have identified problems in the field, have created what are known as action research, and based on those action research, action plans that affect their solutions, put their plans into practice, and in that way have evaluated their effects of the actions and have proposed actions that could be taken by their fellow teachers in India and elsewhere. There are proposals which are for a change, usually often restricted only to the Ministry of Education and other departments, which does not get enough. So the educational changes often fail because they are imposed by higher officials and academics on the teachers without any consultation. They are perceived as culturally inappropriate sometimes by the teachers who have to implement them. Oftentimes it conflicts with the beliefs and preferences of the teachers who have to implement. They also conflict with other components of their educational system. Sometimes like a new communicative course book becomes unpopular and they could be ineffective in the utilization simply because the teachers have not been trained enough and it does not match with the curriculum or the official instruments. Additionally, most likely these decisions are rushed through without providing sufficient training, as I was speaking about. And also that fact that it is implemented without any provision for sufficient resources to sustain this entire program. Therefore, these things do not get into a very interesting system of being utilizable in the first place. The officials, they themselves could be replaced, and the bureaucracy, the new bureaucracy can curtail the efforts, or even politicians who initiated change may be replaced by elections and the priorities change and things can go back to where it started. So all these become problematic when it comes to implementation of changed systems. Because ultimately any educational change in terms of training the students or learners will depend on the success of the teachers themselves. who attempt to implement these changes. The teachers only implement these changes, can implement these changes successfully if they understand and believe in these principles and can follow and understand them to carry out the procedures. So what can be done by the teachers to provide stimulus and enthusiasm? How they can make it happen? In my view, all the teachers are potentially equally capable of conducting and reporting the inquiries and design their own programmatic changes in their own working environments. कि जहाँ पर भी है वहाँ पे अपना ये research करके इनके बारे में हम बता सकते हैं, कर सकते हैं, जो change हमें लाना है वो ला सकते हैं. तो इसके लिए हमें learner needs को अंडरस्टैंड करने की बारे में जानकारी हासिल करने की बहुत ज़रूरी है, ज़रूरत है. सो वी नीड टू अंडरस्टैंड द लर्नर्स नीड्स इन इन दिस काइंड ऑफ सिचुएशंस. सो लेट अस लुक एट दिस सिचुएशन इन अ लिटिल मोर डिटेल. व्हाट आर द रिक्वायरमेंट्स ऑफ सच ए सिचुएशन व्हेन यू वांट टू अंडरस्टैंड द लर्नर्स नीड्स? Take for example the teaching of English language. The 21st century has given birth to a globalized world and it has changed the face of English language. Now in this globalized world, the English language is said to both work as what is known as a pull factor for another and both have considerable impact on the employment. So if you know English, you are supposed to be able to make a big impact in the world in terms and also become more successful. Now English as a language is studied intensively for very specific purposes in India, which acts as a ladder for employment and therefore of social mobility. कि English के बारे में knowledge होने के वजह से लोग बहुत ऊपर तक जा सकते हैं. Being a developing country, India, it is very, very important to have a sustained employment among the population. So, language teaching of English or English language teaching can help the students develop their many skills in addition to the four skills of listening, speaking, reading and writing. So, in this, the communication skills are very important to aid the people in their employment. So as you know that this is something which they are invested in. Skill and employment are interdependent and therefore the debate about the employability skills in India reflect the gap that is there or what is expected between what is expected as a social behavior in a modern society and the perceived gap that exists between this level and among the uneducated rural masses. So the employability skills are defined as skills that are not only required to gain the employment but also to progress in the field and become better at the job for improvement in the job prospect. So being a large country with one of the largest educational systems in the world, this is a huge challenge as to how to find a better job and how to get trained in this communication skills business. Well, English is imagined to be an academic language, a link language, a language for liberation and liberalism, a language of modernity. It is a transactional vehicular language through which other languages may be learned or other factors can become a very, very important one. The access to education can become important. As I was talking about in the earlier lecture, access to information in English can become a very, very important aspect of gaining education. So the student or the learner is motivated to learn English. So it is also a language of social and geographical mobility, and the trends that encourage English are because of the growing middle class, increased urbanization, and the shift towards a service-based economy. And then there is a widening access to higher education from a participation rate from about 12% to 30%. And improved communications and mobility can lead to better ways of understanding the needs of the learner. So how are the needs to be understood? Often, what we do is to try and find out the aims and objectives of the learner. Why are the learners learning something? Most important is to understand the students' importance of the devising and implementing materials for developing the employability skills, or the demonstration of the task-based activity in the class to teach this English communication skills. And this leads us to a kind of a needs analysis, a formal needs analysis that needs to be done, कि कैसे क्या क्या लर्नर के बारे में लर्नर के लिए ज़रूरत है, ये लर्नर के लिए ये सीखना काफ़ी नहीं होता है, टीचर्स को ये बताना काफ़ी नहीं होता है कि हाँ भाई ये सीखो, क्यों सीखना है, कैसे सीखना है, लर्नर को क्या पसंद है नहीं पसंद है, वो भी काफ़ी ज़रूरी है. सो लर्नर्स के लर्निंग स्किल्स के लिए, तो लर्नर्स लर्निंग स्किल्स ऑफ इंग्लिश पेडेगॉजी में व्हाट आर द फैक्टर्स. सो द फैक्टर्स दैट आर इम्पॉर्टेंट कुड बी लाइक वेदर इट इज़ कंपल्सरी और ऑप्शनल, और वेदर देर इज़ अ नीड फॉर दैट और नॉट, इज़ देर अ इन्वॉल्वमेंट ऑफ स्टेटस और मनी और प्रमोशन दैट दे आर लर्निंग दिस फॉर, व्हाट डू लर्नर्स थिंक अबाउट देयर अचीवमेंट, व्हाट दे वांट टू अचीव, व्हाट इज देयर एटीट्यूड टूवर्ड्स देयर लैंग्वेज दैट आर बीइंग टॉट इन द स्कूल, एंड वेदर दे वांट टू इम्प्रूव देयर इंग्लिश. सो हाउ डू द लर्नर्स लर्न? विद दिस इन द बैकग्राउंड, ऑल दीज थिंग्स, द लर्नर्स लर्निंग बैकग्राउंड इज एन इम्पॉर्टेंट कंसिडरेशन. And also important is what is the concept of teaching and learning from the teacher's perspective and from the student's perspective, the learner's perspective. कि दोनों तरफ से ये पता होना चाहिए कि हाँ क्या हो रहा है, कैसे हो रहा है, क्यों हो रहा है. एंड देन मेथडोलॉजी कैन बी अप्लाइड समथिंग, सम मेथड्स और सम मेथडोलॉजी विच विल बी एक्सेप्टेबल और अपीलिंग टू द स्टूडेंट. And what are the sorts of techniques that are likely to achieve this? And you also have to keep in mind कि क्या क्या काम नहीं करता, किस किस टेक्निक से काम नहीं करता है. Also that what resources are available, number of teachers, number of professional and the professional competence of the teachers, attitude of the teachers towards the language skills. कौन सा टीचर कैसे पढ़ा रहा है वो भी काफ़ी इफेक्ट होता है, सब्जेक्ट कंटेंट, सब्जेक्ट नॉलेज. कॉन्टेंट टीचर लाइक से फॉर एग्जाम्पल सब्जेक्ट टीचर के, जैसे ज्योग्राफी टीचर या हिस्ट्री टीचर या साइंस टीचर या मैथ्स टीचर, हाउ मच दे आर यूटिलाइजिंग द लैंग्वेज, वॉट आर देयर एटीट्यूड्स टूवर्ड्स लैंग्वेज, दीज आर ऑल इम्पॉर्टेंट थिंग्स, अलॉन्ग विथ वॉट मटीरियल्स आर बींग यूज, वॉट एड्स आर बींग यूज, एंड वॉट आर द अपॉर्चुनिटीज फॉर आउट ऑफ क्लास एक्टिविटीज. ऑल दीज आर फैक्टर्स दैट आर नीड, दैट आर यूजफुल or that are required for understanding the needs of the learner. So one thing that comes through from most of research during these action research-based classes is that there is a need for activity-based classes. So before going into the teachers to teach the learners anything on the skills or the language skills or the communication skills, their previous knowledge on the skills need to be tested. that is listening, speaking, reading and writing needs to be tested. How can you test them? By that is by conducting different task based activities. And it is very important for the teacher to identify the amount of awareness that they have about the skills. The main target could be any of those four skills depending upon the purpose, but the skill of speaking seems to be the overwhelming winner in terms of the main target for most of the teachers in such a situation. Kyunki speaking skills have acquired very important place. Ki sabse jyada zaruri hota hai speaking in the communication skills, which is indispensable for any kind of further activity. Students ko ye pata hona bhi zaruri hota hai ki speaking skills listening skills ke bagair nahi sikha ja sakta hai. So together these skills contribute about 50% of the communication in our daily lives. So the listening skills may be developed by listening to the lectures and speeches, making transitions, restating and so on and so forth. To help the learners to achieve this skill, very short listening activities can be conducted in the classes. One of them, these activity classes, that could be that the participants were asked to listen to the sentences, some 10 sentences or so, and then ask questions about them. So it can be a paragraph which is divided into 10 different sentences, and then they could be jumbled and they could be asked to rearrange them if they're advanced learners, or at least middle grade learners. Also, that students usually find this activity very interesting because it usually is a very new activity for them. They can practice on their own and reflecting on their knowledge. So reflection can be a very useful tool in this case as well. Then you could ask participants or learners about three questions. Say, for example, a kind of a vacation situation. How did you spend? What did you do? How would you like to do it further in the next vacation? So this can become a kind of a context for them to answer these questions. They could reflect on these activities, and then they could think on their own, and they can talk about it, and then they could be asked to share what they were thinking, no matter whether they were right or wrong, so that does not matter. So this could be done in as a kind of a group activity. So just like this, there could be some other things that are important in terms of their skill development. So there are some 15 points which come in very handy when they are looking at the needs analysis. Number one is the oral one, as the ability to communicate effectively and appropriately. Number two, oral presentation skills, the ability to present ideas orally to an audience. Third is listening and the willingness and being able to hear and actively understand what others are saying. Fourthly, written communication, which are well constructed and which is the right style for the right occasion. Fifth is reading ability to absorb written material sufficiently and rapidly. Sixth is visual representation to draw diagrammatic forms. Seven are information skills and the ability to seek, store and use present information. And then some other modern day skills, which are like computer literacy, the ability to use computers, word processing, databases, spreadsheets, group or teamwork, which is a soft skill to cooperate with others and make others make a variety of their contribution, that is the ideas, organization, kind of in a joint venture. And then there are soft skills like leadership, the ability to manage, guide, and facilitate a group activity, the use of creativity and imagination. Then the 12th point is critical or analytical thinking and the development of the ability to consider issues both in terms of the range and in terms of logical analysis, which leads to kind of increase in the 13th point, which is trust in your own self-confidence and ability to sufficiently enable you to make that contribution. Then you have the awareness about your career and employment and ability to identify the range of options. And finally, a decision-making ability to weigh alternative approaches and make a commitment and carry on the selected option in terms of why and how these English communication skills become important in their curriculum. So these are the kinds of ways in which the needs are understood. Alternatively, you could also look at the needs in terms of the barriers that exist between the learning needs and what the learners are doing. And in particular, certain contexts and backdrops. उसका जो लैंग्वेज का जो बैकग्राउंड है या उसका जो सोसाइटी का जो बैकग्राउंड है या सोशल क्लास का जो बैकग्राउंड है वो कितना इफेक्टिव है कम्युनिकेट करने के लिए. Additionally, it could also be that the problems and challenges that are being faced while understanding the basis for their needs. So what does it lead to? This leads to the understanding that language needs and the problem areas for English learning among your readers or listeners or learners of English language or any other language or any other subject that you are trying to understand. So this is specifically, we are trying to talk about language, English language, because English is being discussed in a major way over here. But it could equally apply to any other language. Now, it will also add to the kind of research that is being already done in the field and what are the methods by which we can identify the social and cultural barriers. What stops the learners from learning in our classrooms? What are the obstacles? And how these affect the overall learning process. Now let us look back and look at the understanding of needs analysis in terms of a theoretical basis. The term needs analysis in education generally refers to a process by which you collect information to serve as the foundation for developing a curriculum that would meet the needs of a particular group of students. Now, before designing a course, is particularly an English for specific purposes course, a needs analysis process should be done to specify the learner's language needs well in advance. Now, it is a process which not only defines why a particular group of learners require language education, but it also positions their needs according to their priorities. Ki priorities kya hai, uske anusar the needs must be set up. Because without that, the teaching exercise would be flawed. The needs for learning a language may thus be variable, ki ye vary kar sakta hai, kuch bhi ho sakta hai ki, but learner is always the focus of the analysis. This is a very, very important part where the learner must be made the center of the educational process. So this approach is called learner-centered approach of language teaching, which is opposed to learning-centered or teacher-focused or teacher-centered learning systems. Now, there is a distinction that needs to be made between target needs and learning needs. And in fact, Hutchinson and Waters, they had made this distinction way back in the 1980s, late 1980s, in fact in 1987. They had defined the target needs as what the learner needs to do in the target situation, and the learning needs as what the learner needs to do in order to learn. So the difference is, target needs is what learners needs to do in the target situation, and that is the aim. And the learning needs is where they use this as the kind of a growth strategy. Okay, the explanation of learning needs in the pedagogic objective is that why they learn and what the resources are available to them. In fact, again, later on, almost 10 years later, a decade later, David Noonan, a well-known theorist of English language teaching, categorized needs analysis under two headings, which are called objective needs and subjective needs. While objective needs refer to the factual details like learner's age and background and also language use in different situations and contexts and the existing level of proficiency, difficulties of the learner's subjective needs. These needs, they refer to the affective and cognitive factors such as motivation, confidence, attitude, expectations, and preferred learning styles of the learners. Now, almost 2 decades later, in 2010, a study by Coleman established the link between English language learning and the development. According to this researcher, some of the areas where English has a key role to play are improving the employability level of the users, providing access to advanced research and information, and facilitating the international mobility of students, tourists, workers, etc. So the needs analysis of any language teaching program is similar to a thorough diagnosis of the ailments of patient that a doctor needs to do before doing any kind of medical intervention or treatment. So in this way, we can see that we need to understand the needs from a theoretical perspective, and we would find that most of the students relate to these kinds of views on having adequate opportunities for English practice outside the classroom. Even though majority of students feel that they're not getting adequate opportunity to practice their English skills, there is still a good number of students who are generating some opportunity to practice their English skills. And data collected from open-ended questionnaires tell us that students engage in conversation in English with their friends when they do that, in addition to watching English movies, films, listening to music, listening to videos of YouTube and podcasts, reading newspapers in English and novels, and watching news channels, etc., can aid towards practicing their English skills outside their classroom. Now, students also consider their confidence level regarding English language to be seriously inadequate. They realize that they do not have sufficient competence in feeling confident, and while they are using the language of English, and also that this low confidence level, students do not like practicing their language skills outside the classroom, which then becomes like a vicious cycle which needs to be broken in order to gain currency or gain competence in the language. Now, where lack of adequate practice leads to low confidence level, and again, low confidence level leads to lack of adequate practice in that kind of a cycle. But despite all these issues, the students more or less, they feel motivated to learn the language, realizing that without it, they cannot make any progress in this world. So there are some other points which are very important. Is that in India, most of the class sizes are large. Now, another thing that can be used is the use of multiple intelligences in the ESL classroom. So, the theory of multiple intelligences was introduced in 1983 by Gardner. And therefore, this can be used in contexts where students previously use only their verbal, linguistic, and logical mathematical intelligences, and the rest of their intelligences lay unused. So students are usually they are complex personalities, and under the developmental stage, they are at the critical juncture where all their potential needs to be nurtured. Now, in traditional systems of teaching and learning, usually that is encountered in the mainstream education, only students with strong linguistic, mathematical, and spatial abilities are recognized and accepted. Whereas students from various different sets of intelligences that cannot be measured under standardized tests are regarded as unable to learn. This is a serious handicap of the system, and in this the individuals are not treated as capable of learning or possessing any other kinds of intelligences. Suppose a student who can sing or dance well finds recognition only when there is a school concert, or a physically strong student can recognition only in the sports field. Their other talents, say for example in music, are not utilized to their fullest abilities. So in this case, we could also look at some of the students we have and we can see that they are having a wide range of capabilities, and they have strengths in one area of performance, but there are other comparable strengths in other areas which are not as developed. But the weakness in one area could not be a predictive factor either in success or failure in the other cognitive tasks, where students found to be good at many things, but others were good at many other things, and the strengths were found to be distributed in a very, very skewed fashion. So, looking at these multiple ways in which the learner is positioned, we need to understand that there could be a paradigm shift in our culture of how we teach in our own classrooms. We need to give equal attention to students who are gifted in other kinds of intelligences like artistry, music, designer, dancing, therapy, or sports, and there could be some others as well. Now, based on this, Gardner suggested 8 different types of intelligences, which are as follows. Number 1 is verbal linguistic, which is the ability to work with intricacies of anything dealing with vocabulary, grammar, literature, and other aspects of language. 2nd is logical mathematical, ability to solve logical and mathematical problems and manipulation with numbers and physical sciences. 3rd is visual spatial, which has a strong sense of space direction, color, etc. Fourth is musical rhythmic, having keen awareness of pitch, tone, rhythm, balance of singers, poets, musicians, etc. You have physical kinesthetic, which is the ability to use the body skillfully, like in showing the stamina or precision or balance in sports or music or dance. Then there are interpersonal skills, intelligences, like abilities to adjust in different social situations, make friends. Then you have intrapersonal skills of having self-knowledge, self-discipline, and ability to introspect or take decisions based on one's own ideas. And number eight, naturalistic, which having a very strong awareness of nature, the flora, fauna, ecology, and conservation, etc. So Gardner's multiple intelligence theory influenced task-based approaches in the learner-centric movement of education, and where the tasks provided the stimulus for one or more kinds of intelligence to the learner. By the late 1990s, the task-based learning with multiple intelligence applications had developed into the multiple intelligences teaching approach, or MITA, M-I-T-A. It has far-reaching implications for language teaching because of its cooperative, task-based, multimodal approach that supported independent thinking, understanding, self-expression, which formed the basis for language learning. The principles also stressed that feedback for the instruction and could be given and empowered the learners in a kind of a metacognitive understanding about what they were doing. Now, all these factors coming together could lead to a kind of set of classroom-based action research, in which there could be many different types of lessons that could be planned. So let us look at some of the planned lessons, something like life of plants, video clip taken from a film to show how field trip is undertaken, or a biodiversity camp, or something like a map reading lesson where the students learn how to find places in the maps. Or, say, for example, a self-reflection journal writing where the students think independently about themselves and jot down their points. Something like a survey could also be a lesson, how the students are making the survey, how they are discussing them, how they're analyzing them. So they can be a kind of a teaching them, way of teaching them visual, spatial, verbal, logical, interpersonal intelligences. All these things can be put together. And when you do this kind of teaching for ESL, you find that you go beyond the printed textbook, and the curriculum can become a very interesting and interesting for the students. And this can provide for the further scope for development, and therefore learners' needs can come up in a much more, can be addressed in a much better fashion. So in the next lecture, I will talk about the learner's perceptions and how that shapes our understanding, our means, the learner's, the teacher's understanding of the learner's abilities and how they are perceived. Thank you.